trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Frank, and welcome to another episode of the Remnant Call. Times are changing. Things are moving rapidly, and folks, you are living in the last days. I know you've heard about it. Your grandparents probably told you about it. Your parents may have told you about it. But folks, welcome to the end times. We are officially there. You don't have to wait any longer. This is the moment, the hour, the days that you have been hearing about and looking forward to, the soon coming of our Lord and Savior. But before that, things are going to get radical. And there's nobody, I don't think, around Harley that understands that better right now in this hour than Brother Benjamin Brook. And so with that, I'm going to bring on Benjamin here with me this evening. Brother, are you there?
Yeah, shalom, Frank. I am here.
Amen. Amen. Brother, I appreciate this. This is, this is year 1999 to 2024. This is 20, five to six, right in their years. You and I have known each other. And brother, you started this before we ever knew each other. And we are here. We're here. We don't have to wait anymore, folks. Here. Welcome.
Isn't it amazing? The book that the Lord had me type for him, The Day of the Lord is at Hand.
Amen.
The work started right after Passover in 1998, and the text, the rough draft of the text, was finished by Pentecost. And over the course of the summer, the typesetting and the final edit review and the final polishing of all of as many of the fingerprints of man that could be erased from the text, we removed them by prayer and by the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And Frank, the book was actually published on the eve of Yom Kippur. The sun was going down, and it was going to be Yom Kippur in about an hour. And I was getting ready to jump in the car and drive to the publishing company, and we were going to set the print number. And the Lord had told me that I will furnish everything for this work. You will do nothing. I will provide everything, including all of the funds. And then somebody had given me $5,000 to start the process when I began the work. And we had spent most of it with the typeset. And that was in the old school before we had this print-on-demand technology. And I think I had enough money left to publish maybe 500 books. And I'm getting ready to walk out the door. And Frank, I lifted up my wrist. I had a watch on at the time. And I lifted up my wrist and I was pointing to my watch. And I said, Lord, I know you know what time it is. But Lord, I'm about to walk out the door. And I'm going to push the button on the print run. And right now, I don't have the money to print more than just a few hundred copies of this book. And if that's all you want, that's fine. But if you want to print more than that, Lord, you're going to need to move like right. And before I can even finish my sentence, the phone's ringing. Frank, I pick up the phone and it's this Dr. Ron, friend of mine, who had read the manuscript. It touched him powerfully. He'd given me the original $5,000 to start the process. And Dr. Ron's on the phone and he's like, I can't get your book out of my mind. It's driving me crazy. I'm coming over tonight. I'm going to give you a blank check. You fill in whatever number God tells you to do. I want to get this work done. I'm like, I didn't even finish asking. Boom.
Amen. Amen.
And Dr. Ron, who's a very, very wealthy man, literally handed me a blank check and said, you pray about what to fill in. And I did. And the Lord said 7,000. And so I did. I filled 7,000. And that was enough money to print 5,000 copies of the book. And so it began. And the book was submitted for publication on the eve of Yom Kippur. And here we are. And Frank, this coming.
What was the date of? I mean, so that was 99, though, right?
It was 98. Let me hear. 98?
Okay.
It was September of 1998, and it was literally on I started the work in the spring, right after the Passover, and finished it, and we pushed the print run, an hour before Yom Kippur. And what's amazing is the intro to the book says 2,000 years ago the Messiah came, and literally that's about the extent of it. This was the 2,000 years later, the Lord was now going to commission a work to come forth. And if the listeners haven't read the Day of the Lord, maybe you want to, maybe you don't. It's a lot of people got blessed by it, but really the books that if people have not read the Search the Scriptures series, and Frank, I am going to try to finish volumes 5, 6, and 7 in the next 90 days.
Amen. Folks,
Five
this is
and six.
all I want to mention one thing about the Day of the Lord because it's important. This book is it, there's it Psalm 12:6. It's the it remind it's that's 12:6. It's seven times. There were seven revisions, right?
Yeah,
Of that book.
that's
You know,
correct.
if you've ever folks, you should read Psalm 12:6 sometime. And I'll let you read that on the own. And that's exactly how many times that book was revised, and Benjamin added some updates and things like that just to,
Well,
but
time marched on.
yeah.
And some of the Russian troll critics that have, wrote attacking comments on the reviews on Amazon, basically said, this author had to revise this book, seven times, because he kept being wrong. And well, I kept trying to discern the timing of this judgment. That's true. And it was a puzzle that I gradually unpacked. And the book got revised because in 2001 the world changed. And again, as we move through time, in 2008 the world changed. In 2012 the world changed again. And so I kept updating the book for more revelation from Scripture, and for also the evolving events of the end of the age,
But
which
the book never changed itself from the original because of what the message was. It was editions, folks. I can tell you that all I can tell you is this. That was printed in 1998. Someone handed that book to me in the beginning of 1999, and about a couple weeks later after I started reading that book. A man who had barely made it out of school. That was me. I had only read a few books in my entire life because I was made to. And here someone slaps 300 and how many pages down in front of me, full of the scripture. And I'm like, what? I couldn't put it down. And all I can tell you is I left in March 1999, strung out on meth. My wife, my family, everything was over. I was as far gone as a man could be. And I got born again outside of a church with no knowledge about how to be saved. And I met the Lord directly in my vehicle and got delivered while driving down the road. There is no possible way that could ever happen without divine intervention that a man could be in my state and get born again without knowing how to get saved outside of a church. And the Lord radically changed my life around.
Well,
One day I left and I got born again. I was clean for the rest of my life.
the Lord did the book.
Yeah.
Jeez, I only typed it, and honestly, I sat at the computer, and when somebody suggested I should maybe pray about writing a book, and I thought, I've never done that before, and I prayed about it, and the Lord said, "Yes, I want you to write a book." And so I sat down at my computer. I said, "Lord, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even have a title." I looked down and my Bible was open to Isaiah 13. And I looked at verse 6, "The day of the Lord is at hand." And you know what, brother? We've come full circle because it is indeed now upon us. And if people haven't read the book, there is one part of the book that changed. I attempted to reason through the timing of the judgment. Because there's a challenge, there was a scriptural challenge in Jeremiah, and I'll read it to you. It's actually repeated. It's in Jeremiah 49, and it again is in Jeremiah 50, and it's a challenge text, for you prophetic students. The text reads, "And who will appoint me the time? Who's going to discern the timing of the judgment of America?" Well, I'm always up for a good challenge, and so I thought, well, I'm going to try to discern this in the context of the prophecies of the 70 weeks prophecy and the prophecy of the fall of Babylon and so on and so forth. So in every revision to the book, I had a took another peel off that onion, if you will. But I knew there was a missing jubilee because the prophecy of Daniel 9, 24 to 27 speaks of that there would be 77s determined upon the people of Israel and the holy city. And I'll read the exact text. 77s are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to bring an end to transgression, to make an end of sin, to bring in reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness. Hallelujah. That's what's ahead for us who are in the remnant. And to seal a vision in prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And in Hebrew, it's Kadosh Kadashim, the holiest of the holy places. And we know when Yeshua came 2,000 years ago, after the 62 weeks, he was the holy place. And he became anointed with the Spirit without measure. And there will be another anointing soon. But, in reasoning through, I understand the prophecies because I'm a Hebrew. And so I think like an Israeli, right? And I realize we use a different calendar than the Goy. We have a calendar that repeats itself every 8 years perfectly. And we have leap years with the month of Adar being duplicated. We have two Adars in a leap year. And I also understand that every 7 years is a Sabbath year. And after seven Sabbath years, we have a Jubilee, which is the 50th year. Even as the Feast of Weeks, which is the celebration of Shavuot, which the Gentiles call Pentecost, occurs after 49 days of counting from the Feast of First Fruit. And the Feast of 7 Weeks is the feast day to celebrate the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel 9. And it's all about the 50th year. The sevens point to Shabbat. The seven sevens point to Jubilee. And so I knew that the Jubilee was the key to the prophecy. And now Isaac Newton in his book discerned the same thing. Now Newton was smarter than all of us combined for sure. But, did God reveal this to him or did Newton just see it himself from his brilliance? I have no idea. The Lord showed me, I wasn't that smart, but the Lord showed me that these Jubilee years were the key. And in within the 62 weeks from the command of Artaxerxes to the birth of Yeshua in 2 BC were 62 weeks. Well, that's 434 years. The commandment was in 444 BC. Yeshua was born in 2 BC. That's 442 years. How does 434 turn into 442? Well, you got to add 8. Gee, what is 8 the number of anyway? New beginnings. And 8 Jubilees are the compass of time within 400 years. We would have 8 Jubilees. And then again, the 7 sevens at the end of the age, which is a period of 49 years. Again, you would add the Jubilee. It's a metric of measurement unto the Jubilee, which is the day of his redeemed. The totality of our salvation and redemption is all revealed and manifest in these Jubilee years. Hallelujah. So within this prophecy, there's 8 and 1. Well, that adds up to 9. Yet 77s is 490 years. That's 10 Jubilee cycles. Well, where's the 10th Jubilee? I knew there was a missing Jubilee. I just didn't understand where it was or which one it was. I had no idea that in the prophecy of Daniel, the 77s that were decreed upon the people of Israel were themselves 7 Sabbath years and 70 of those series of Sabbaths, which means 70 Jubilees. And nobody, well, to my knowledge, I've never heard anyone else teach about the second part of the hidden prophecy of Daniel 9, in which there are actually 70 Jubilees decreed upon the people of Israel. Well, that's like mind-blowing. That you start that from the Exodus. And Jesus was born on a Jubilee in 2 BC. Adam was created in 4002 BC. Jesus was born on the 4,000th day or year, if you will, of creation. And 4,000 years is 80 Jubilees. 80 is the number of the new beginning, 8 being completed, 10. And so God completed the new creation when the Son of God himself took on the humility of our humanity. He was born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem. And so Israel itself was redeemed at the end of the age in 1948, 1949. And Yeshua's birth is on the Jubilee cycle. Israel's rebirth following the War of Independence is a Jubilee cycle. If you go back to 4002 BC for the creation of Adam, then 1999 was the 120th Jubilee of creation. And you go from 2 BC, the next Jubilee is the year 49 because there is no year zero. So 2 and 49 is 51, but you subtract because there is no year zero. So it's 50 years. And so here we are. 1999 was the 69th Jubilee of Israel and the 120th Jubilee of creation. And the Father God Almighty declared, the Lord declared unto Noah, I will not always strive with man. For after 120 years, the end of all flesh would come. And in Noah's day, that prophecy was fulfilled after 120 years. And in our time, in the span of creation, those 120 years are Jubilee years, and they represent the 6,000 years that God would strive with man. And after 120 Jubilees, the end of all flesh would come. Well, that was 1999. Well, wait a minute, where's the end of all flesh? Well, there's one final Jubilee for Israel. Because, you know, if you count the Jubilees from the Exodus, which was 1452. Now, I understand the experts don't agree on anything, okay? I just came to bear witness of the truth. Yeshua was born on a Jubilee. He is our Redeemer. He is the new creation. Hallelujah. The new Adam had come. The God-man had come. The man who himself is the very Son of God from eternity, having no beginning, dwelling always with the Father. This is our Lord who died for us. His blood. It's the testament of the covenant that was made by Father God with all of his elect. Amen. And it is sealed. It was nailed to the cross. And our old nature was nailed there with him. And we are as secure in this covenant as those nails were that literally bound our Lord to that cross in death. But so here we are. The year 2024. The Spirit of God reveals to me, this is the final Jubilee, the 70th Jubilee of Israel. Now, the Jubilee cycle was civil, and every 50 years. This Jubilee is spiritual. If God were to wait 50 years, you know, the end of the age would be, you know, the coming of the man-child would be in 2049. Well, we're not going to wait 25 more years for World War III, you guys, or for the complete financial collapse of the bankrupt Western, you know, welfare states. These things have come upon us now. So how is it that God could have a spiritual jubilee? Well, how does God have a spiritual year? It starts in Nisan. He's got a civil calendar that's in Rosh Hashanah. This year, Frank, there was an eclipse that sealed the fate of America on April 8th. And that evening, Nisan 1, New Year's Day began in the spirit. That being the very 70th jubilee that began. Now, the civil jubilee begins in the fall, in either on Yom Kippur, which is what some teach, or on Rosh Hashanah. Well, this year, the final 70th jubilee, the jubilee in which God sevens, which is perfection, and he tens, he completes, 70 being the absolute perfect completion of his work in the earth. And what is that work that he's been doing? To bring forth the redemption of a righteous, holy people, totally redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who can now overcome the dragon, the world, and their own flesh, by the power of the Holy One who lives within them, having been through the wilderness of pain, having learned the same lessons we've all learned. Our ways are grievous. Our inventions are disaster. Every other way leads to ruin. There is only one path that leads to life. There's only one road that is blessed. There's only one way that will prosper you in your soul, and that's Yahweh's way. That's the way of Yeshua. That's the straight and the narrow path where only the remnant, where only the elect will pass through, because the proud need not apply. And the compromise, those who dwell with the harlots of Babylon, you can't walk on this narrow way. You have to turn your back on everything of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in your hearts, you have to set your spiritual eyes on Zion, whereunto is our high calling, where the Lord is calling us home, and he's calling us to his throne. And so here we are in this 70th Jubilee. Who even knows this, right? I mean, I've told people, they don't even believe me. It's like, okay, you know, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the one who sent me. I'm not going to take it personal. You know, God told Samuel, what are you upset about? They're not rejecting your word. You're speaking my word. It is me that the people have rejected, not you. But for those who can receive it, the 70th Jubilee is coming. Frank, what's so amazing? We have that incredible eclipse that was the Aleph Tav, and it was literally God putting the X, like, you know, a condemned building following the Hurricane Katrina. They put the X on the side. They paint the X on the side of the buildings with a circle, you know, buildings condemned. Don't even enter again. This building is going to be torn down. It's going to be destroyed. It's no longer fit for any purpose. So God also put the X over America. And now, this is amazing. We have a second eclipse coming. On what day? Rosh Hashanah. Oh, another New Year Day eclipse. One for the high holy days of the spiritual calendar, inaugurating Passover, the Feast of First Fruit, leading us into the time of visitation in Shavuot. And now again, an eclipse on Rosh Hashanah, this one over the Pacific. Frank, the darkness covers Easter Island. And
I didn't know
barely
that.
Touches Chile and Argentina. It's over the Pacific. And what does the Pacific represent? The word means peace. It's the Sea of Peace. And the sea represents humanity. So the Pacific represents the peace that humanity has known. By God's mercy and grace, peace has prevailed upon the earth. I mean, yes, there have been wars in here and there, but for the most part, those of us who live in the United States of America, we have not seen any wars in our neighborhoods to speak of, a few incidents. But I'm talking about World War II, where entire cities were leveled, entire nations were destroyed, where there were 20 million civilians killed, like the war that's being fought in Gaza right now, or the war that is in Ukraine, the war that's in all likelihood coming to North Korea, the war that is soon to come on our shores. Here, God is giving these final warnings unto us. But yeah, back to the book. The criticism is correct. Benjamin didn't know everything in 1998 that God revealed to him in the next 26 years. Yeah. I mean, for sure, the Lord has continued to reveal more and more and more. And that's why the book got updated. And yes, I kept wrestling with the prophecy of Jeremiah 50, verse 44. Behold, he shall come up like a lion. Okay, that's the Antichrist. Coming up as a lion, you know, the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. The lion has emerged from the thicket. He's already attacking you through your food, through the air, bioweapons. We're being attacked in ways we don't even see. The enemy has come. He's rosen up out of the thicket, and he's going to come upon the West from the swelling of the Jordan. That's the crisis in the Middle East, which is only going to explode. The peace process is dead. I studied Israeli political science in Jerusalem. I'm a former military analyst. I'm a specialist in the Middle East. I lived in Jerusalem. I trained with IDF Special Forces, your friends in Israeli intelligence. I have studied this since the early 1970s. I know something about my own country. And I understand the military, economic, political balance of power. And if you just look at reality, The United States is bankrupting itself. The American population is, the younger people are turning decidedly against Israel, and they're embracing Hamas, which means violence. They're embracing Iran that shouts death through America. American college students are cheering for death for their own families, death in their own lives. And the Lord's word is eternally set. Established in heaven. I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. And so the younger generation of this nation, many of them are engaging in the very actions that will bring forth the final curse under their lives. And they have no idea. Israel is facing a war that cannot be avoided. What are they going to negotiate with Iran? Are you serious? Negotiate with Hamas? Negotiate with Hezbollah? No, negotiate with the PA. The Palestinians voted Hamas into power. No, the covenant of death has been annulled. The peace process is over. Bibi Netanyahu said so much to the whole earth, quoting Ecclesiastes. There's a time for peace, but now is a time for war. And this war is not going to stop. This is actually the war of Ezekiel 38. And we're in the early phases as the Antichrist will come forth from the swelling of the Jordan. That's the crisis in the Middle East, which is happening right now. Unto the habitation of the strong, land of the free, proud and the brave. Yeah, number one. Yeah, number one on God's list for judgment next. But I, the Lord, will make the enemies suddenly run away from America. Hallelujah. And who is the chosen one that I may appoint over her? You guys, we're going to get a new government. Hallelujah. Following the war, the Lord's going to appoint a new governor over what's left of America. And guess what? It's going to be a democratic election. There's one vote, the Lord. And whoever he votes for, that's who wins. And you're going to really like the new government because they're going to be following the absolute direction of the Lord. Righteousness will be restored once the land is burned. And who is the chosen one that may appoint over? And who is like me? Our new governor is going to have the heart of the Lord. He's going to be like King David. His whole concern will be the people. He'll be a shepherd. Finally, there'll be a shepherd over what's left of this nation. And who will appoint me the time? Well, there's your challenge. Discern the time. See if you can figure it out. When's the judgment of America going to occur? That's a pretty tough prophetic challenge. You have to be able to see through the 70 years of American Babylon, which are the second fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah 25, 12. Then you have to discern, well, when did the 70 years start? When do they end? Okay, well, 1950, NATO, boom. We're the leader of the free world. The sudden lone superpower. And when did they end? 2020. Well, did anything change in 2020? No, go back to sleep. Nothing changed. But why wasn't Babylon judged? Well, why do you think it wasn't judged? Do you understand the number of people that have died? The excess deaths, the turbo cancers, the number of babies that are dying? Sudden infant death syndrome, Benjamin. Don't you know babies just die? I mean, that's just what they do in ever-increasing numbers. Right. I mean, it's from the 5G towers, I'm sure. No, of course not. That's from all the poisons. The breath of the dragon poisoning everything in our world. Who will appoint the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Well, I took that up as a prophetic challenge, right? Hey, it's like a puzzle. The Lord's asking a question, figure it out. But how could you figure it out? You start with Psalm 90, 70 years, and by strength, 80. Okay, where do you benchmark from? 48? No, it's the rule of Babylon. It's not the rebirth of Israel. Well, who's Babylon? Well, America, if you can discern it. When did she become a superpower? And then, if you look closer, The birth of the man-child is what's prophesied by the 7 weeks prophecy of Daniel 9. The Messiah shall come after seven sevens, which is 49 years. Add that Jubilee, you got 50. We're not talking about in the clouds, folks. I'm not telling you the day or the hour. I'm talking about the appearance of the man-child, 144,000, who will come forth out of the fires of this great final war that's about to be fought. But the seven sevens have been fulfilled. Where is the man-child? What are we missing? The missing Jubilee. Because he comes in visitation in a Jubilee. Well, where's the missing Jubilee? How do we figure out the Jubilee? Well, until you realize that there's a prophecy regarding the people of Israel and that it itself is a prophecy of 70 Jubilees, and the final 70th Jubilee is the missing 10th Jubilee of Daniel's prophecy. It's the completion of Daniel's prophecy. Well, when could that be? Well, good luck guessing that one, right? Unless the Lord tells you the answer, how would you know? Yet here we are. You know, and Yeshua stood up. You know, bless the Lord. Everything he did was so perfect. I just rejoice to know that what we're about to witness is the fulfillment of his ministry. When Yeshua stood up in Nazareth announcing the beginning of his ministry, he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison door to all that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he stopped reading, and he rolled up the scroll, and he never read the second half of verse 2, "and to declare the day of vengeance of our God," and that would await the final Jubilee. If Yeshua was here today and he were to read from the scroll, he would declare unto us and to declare the favorable year, the final Jubilee, the 70th Jubilee, the spiritual Jubilee, when God is going to perfect the work he's been doing, the work that he's been doing in all of us. Those who have the courage to not hide from the truth. Those who have the courage to search their own hearts. Those who have the love to turn away from the grievous things of Babylon and to seek the kingdom first in that and not seek another. Turn your heart all the way back to the Lord. For you, it's the favorable year. This is the year when the Lord is going to show mercy. Mercy. It's the year when he wants us to come home. But Yeshua this time would read, "and the day of vengeance of our God." And hallelujah, we're there. Now, one last thing, you guys. If you have not read, search the scriptures, okay? I don't know what you're thinking. Go read the reviews for Out of the Darkness. And listen, you guys, this is not an advertisement so Benjamin can make a $2.50 royalty or a $4, whatever the royalty is. This is so you can get these books into the hands of your family and your friends and people can get set free, okay? And these books are alive. The Lord did the Search the Scriptures series. I remember when he told me, "I want you to publish a series of books, and I want them called Search the Scriptures. And I want volume one to be entitled Out of the Darkness. And the first chapter is Matters of the Heart. And I will fashion this work as a pillar of righteousness, which I am going to throw from the heavens to crush the head of Satan in the lives of my people." Well, would you like Satan's head crushed in your life? Then why don't you get one of these pillars and read it carefully? Read it prayerfully. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And then pass it on to your friends, because we have got to get ready. Hallelujah. Frank, should we start the message?
Yeah, folks, I've told people before, all you got to do is get out of the darkness, sit down and read the first chapter. And if I'm telling you right now, you will wish you had put your seatbelt on for that chapter.
Right.
Because go ahead. No, it's shocking. It's intense. The whole book's intense, but I'm just saying, rarely is a book ever started off in, you know, at top speed. And that book stop, you know, it starts out at maximum velocity and it doesn't let off, folks. It is a game-changing book. And like Benjamin said, he doesn't, if you think that he's selling books to make money, brother, have you actually even ever broken even hardly from what you've done out of your own
No,
pocket?
no, no.
No. He doesn't
Unless
do this to make royalty. It's ridiculous. He's self-published. He makes like $2 a something. It's and if you know anything about Benjamin, he'll give you he gives stuff away. And anyway, so folks, this is important. The word of God obviously is the most important thing, but these books are something that are so wonderful to pass to somebody else. My dad absolutely loves Benjamin's books. Right, sends me questions. I read this out of Ben. What's your thought? You know what I mean? That's what my dad always doing. But you can hand it to somebody. It's easy to read, but extremely. And you know where those books will lead you to? They will lead you right back into the Word. And that is what anybody who's sharing the Lord should be leading you back to His Word. Brother, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, when I first read Out of the Darkness, I mean, I typed it, okay? And these were messages. The first chapter, Matters of the Heart. You can find it on YouTube if you search around. But you know what? There's so much truth in these messages that if you're listening to the message in audio, you don't have time to think. That's the reason the Lord had this transcribed. I mean, you know, Jeremiah prophesied these words to Israel. And we forget 80% of what we hear. It goes in one ear and out the other. That's just how we are. We only remember a small percent of what we've heard. But when it's been written down, when the Lord with his finger writes it into the stone, or when he takes his finger and his fire and he cuts it into your stony heart, you can stop and reflect and let those words minister in power to you. Brother, what you know, I typed these. I mean, look, the messages came forth by the anointing. Matters of the heart, I didn't even have any notes for that message, hardly. 3 hours later, blown away. When I read that book, Frank, I couldn't stop weeping. And honestly, I probably read Out of the Darkness 4 or 5 times. I need to read it again. I mean, it's more powerful every time you read it.
Amen.
Look, we got
Amen.
to break through, you guys. I mean, the judgment is about to be released, okay? If you're not in the secret hiding place of the Most High God, when that door gets sealed, if you're still standing in the outer court, you know, which is about to be trodden under by the Gentiles and burned to the ground, you're going to get burned with it. Now, I'm not suggesting you're going to lose your salvation. No. Believe me, Lord's going to cleanse you from all your sin and that fire you're going to go through. Now, a lot of you are going to think you went to hell for a day or two. Well, you kind of did, actually. You're going to go through hell on the way to heaven to burn all this idolatry out of us that, you know, we all, this is the great falling away. This apostasy affected everybody. God burned me in the fire. I can't even tell you how many times. And the last time he burned me for 4.5 straight years, my life was in flames. And I am so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He set me free. And I'm walking now. I got nothing of Babylon in my heart. And Babylon's got nothing on me. And all I see it's the light of God's truth, and that's all I want. I have nothing else in my life that I desire. And you know what? That's what it takes to walk in the fullness of the anointing, so that you are abiding in the dwelling place of the Most High. Look, I know a lot of the believers. I was one of them for years where I could pray, and the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon me and enter the presence of the Holy One. And hear the Lord even. Hallelujah. The Lord's with us even now. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you for helping with this program tonight. But you know, then after I would finish praying, the anointing would just kind of leak out. You know what I'm talking about? Because there were little cracks, there were little broken places in my soul. that weren't all healed up. They weren't all sealed up. And listen, we're going to do some more teaching on how to heal and seal the broken parts of our hearts. The Lord's been having me do a ton of work, and there's more coming that's going to really equip you guys. But you know, the end result is we've got to get to the place where we enter into the anointing, and the anointing does not leak out of us. Where you're walking around the whole day in the presence, can feel the fullness of the Spirit of God in you. And let me tell you, it's the better way to live. Because you know, the alternative is that you go back into the Adamic nature, you go back into the mind of the flesh, you go back into that, you go back to the mountain of Horeb, where Israel just kind of wandered around for 40 years. They went nowhere. And we get the word horrible from Horeb. Horeb is a place of desolation. And that's all the works of the flesh are going to do for you. Everything you accomplish through the power of the flesh is wood, hair, stubble. And it profits you nothing. Spiritually, it profits you nothing for eternity. You know, and I remember the little girl down in, I think it was Colombia, who she was saved. Her parents had beaten her savagely as a small baby and had thrown her in a garbage dump. She was in a dumpster, and some Christians that ran an orphanage heard a baby crying, and they pulled little Mia out. And then she was actually brain damaged from the beatings this small child endured. You know, at the age of 5, you know, she didn't really have much of a vocabulary. I think, you know, more cookie please was probably one of the few sentences that she, one more cookie please, that she mastered. And one day, though, she woke up and she was agitated, and she was trying to talk to the people that were her family in this orphanage. And finally she got out. Jesus, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Everything burn. Cars, people, houses. Jesus, say, say it, say it. And like, Mia, say what? Jesus, say it, that Jesus come. Everything will burn. The people, all their wood houses, all their graven images, all of their idols, all of everything that they've done, this entire nation will burn. Jesus is coming soon, and only a remnant is going to walk through the fires like the three boys in ancient Babylon, and the flames did not harm them at all, because they were walking with the Holy One. And he is going to protect that which is his. Now, if you are born again and you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, then your spirit is the Lord's. And he will protect your spirit. But if your flesh is still bound up with the sin of Babylon, if you're still walking in deception, lying to yourself, lying to your wife, lying to your neighbors, if you're still walking in disobedience and you're looking at pornography, you're still smoking marijuana, you're still getting drunk, you're bound in the flesh, you're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you know, you got a brief window of time to get ready and get cleaned up, or the Lord is going to do the job for you. If you don't do this job, if you belong to him, he's going to do it. He promised he would clean you. And I, you know, I use the analogy, having been to the what I call repentance rehabilitation workshop, which are the concentration camps of the beast government, in which the Lord cleans his people with a blowtorch and an iron brush, and you will be clean. It won't even take more than a few days. And you'll repent of everything. But you know what? Why not just do that now? Why take your children to the death camps with you? Because you don't want to repent? You know, when I went on national tour, Frank, I asked the people, I said, you know, do we have any mothers here in the audience? Are there any mothers, any grandmothers here that have got grandbabies? You know, would you be willing to fast and pray for your children? Do Christian mothers still love their children? Do Christian grandmothers love their grandbabies enough to do whatever it takes to find the Lord in this hour. Turn off the television. It's programming you. It's syncopating your alpha waves. It's putting you in a state of mesmerization. Turn it off. Shoot the TV. Take it outside. It'll be a mess if you shoot it. But, you know, throw it away. Turn off the entertainment of Babylon. Get the Lize, L-I-Z-E, Hadassah music or some other very anointed worship. And, you know, fill your house with worship. Fill your time with the Word of God. Fill your life with the living reality, the living presence of the Almighty God. Seek the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and God will know. He sees those things very clearly. He'll know. And he will come. But if you keep playing this part-time commitment game, if you still love some of this stuff out there in Babylon, then get these books. Call a solemn assembly. Begin the discipline of fasting and praying.
Amen.
And seek the Lord with all your might because your life depends on it. And you know what? After I would ask if there's any mothers, I would then ask the audience, you know, are there any fathers listening to me tonight? Any grandfathers? Are there any men of God who can hear my voice? Are you willing to fast and pray for your children? For your grandchildren, for your wife, for your own life? Or do you just love that cheeseburger from Jack in the Box too much? You know, you can't put it down. You're just too bound up. You know, you can't put that food away for a day. You get to decide. Hallelujah.
Brother, I'm pretty... I'm positive in my Black Bible, which is the one, my favorite one I've had rebound so many times through the years. I still have notes from 1999 at 1 year meetings when I came to meet you about fasting and praying and what you're talking about right now, brother. I get that book and pull those notes from 25 years ago, right? 26. Yeah. It's just amazing.
I didn't make this idea up. I got it from the Bible.
No, because it was real. It was, and it hit me so hard. And folks, that nothing's changed. Like brother was Benjamin was saying, you know, it's time to get free. And I don't care how long you've been struggling with this problem. If you want to get free, you got to put your focus on Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. If you want to get free, you got to put your focus upon the Lord. If your focus is anywhere else, you'll just live in it and die in it. But God, put your focus on Him and let Him do it. He says in Jeremiah, I will heal your backsliding. But He says, turn to me again, you know, return.
Amen.
Seek Him, bro, folks, and He will set you free. Brother, I'm excited because I just was all of a sudden remembering writing those notes down while you were talking. I couldn't write fast enough. I had scribble everywhere. I just where I was trying to find a free place to write a note.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
You know, I've seen the tribulation. I was there. I've been there. I've done that. I did terrible. The Lord gave me a dry, and I'm glad I, you know, like a soldier, you know, who first does a training exercise before he faces the real thing. You know, I have an advantage over most people because I've already seen this tribulation. I know the fear that's coming, and it's intense. If you're not standing in faith, you will not stand at all. If you aren't full of the anointing, you're going to be on your... You'll be in a fetal position, trembling and weeping. Nobody can handle what's coming. So, you know, with that, I'm merely encouraging you guys, get these books. You know what? We're going to have some, like I said, some further messages in the very near future. We're going to get into some deep stuff with how the Lord will heal the brokenhearted and how He's going to unlock those chambers of our soul where the real damage was done, and that You know, for some of us, we can't even remember what happened to you. Well, there's a way to set the captives free. And that's
Amen.
Exactly what the Lord wants to do for me, and he wants to do it too for you and for your family. And so, you know, look, this is our time, you guys. This first half of the 70th Jubilee, this is for the redemption of the remnant. You get to decide, do you want to be part of this remnant? Do you want to come with us? It's going to be pretty fun, and it's not going to be scary on the highway of holiness. There'll be no beast allowed on there. It says in the scriptures, my people will sleep and their sleep will be sweet. They will lie down and no one will make them afraid. And, you know, look, the world's going into a great tribulation. A time such as never was is about to come upon the earth. But the righteous remnant of God who have decided to trade the world for the things of the kingdom, they are going to a place that is altogether blessed. It's going to be the tale of two worlds. It will be the best of time with the remnant. It's going to be the worst time ever for the world and also for the apostate ones. So turn from your sins. They're going to really hurt you now. Your sin is going to cost you big time. I suggest you quit sinning. And if you're bound, seek out prayer and fast and pray. Take authority. Repent, confess your sins one to another. That's what the solemn assemblies are for. Do this with all your might, brothers and sisters, because you know what? The night is coming when no one can work. And a time is coming when there's not going to be deliverance either. And you really want to be ready so that you could be found in that secret hiding place where nothing is going to come near unto you or to your dwelling place or to your family. You and your household will be protected by the Lord. But you got to have the blood over the doorposts of your hearts. And you cannot be touching the unclean thing. And you must have come out from among them. And you must have entered in. And listen, there's stuff, you know, the ground needs to be cleansed. Generational stuff needs to be dealt with. There's a lot of work to do. You don't have time to waste. The only reason I mention these Search of the Scripture books is they will help you immensely. So, you know, pray about what you would do. So, Frank, should we take a shot at getting this message out?
Brother, I think we're going to have to break this into another part. We've been over an hour already.
Okay.
I think we should, because this is honestly, you just did a message you didn't even realize unto itself. And folks, I think tonight's message was timely, honestly, and powerful. And folks, listen, what Brother Benjamin was sharing with you, it's true. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter how messed up, far away, what you've done. If you're willing to call out upon his name, you know, Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 3 or somewhere, it says, only confess thine iniquity. God's like, just come clean with me. Let it out. You know, don't try to hide it. If you're bound up, you got a problem. Let's get this out on the table and let's deal with it. God's already known you got the issue. Let's not hide it anymore. Let's deal with it and allow the Lord. The Lord is in the business right now of making things right. And I'm telling you right now, he's bringing the lost home. I've been sharing about my brother I've been working with, about cousins coming in. I mean, I've got the most dysfunctional family on the planet, just about. I mean, all of ours is really. But the Lord's turned bringing people home, as messed up as they are. And folks, this is the hour. Brother Benjamin is saying, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it tonight. Start now. This is the hour. You will never regret turning everything over to the Lord. You will regret not doing it, though. The Lord wants you to be just like Paul. I fought the good fight. And maybe your fight just starts now. It doesn't matter. The thief on the cross, you've seen it before. It doesn't matter. We need to start from this point forward. And the Lord's going to take us all the way to the end, because he's got to work for the remnant during the tribulation. Okay, he's got to work for us to do. And Brother Benjamin he hasn't even gotten started on his yet. I mean, you know that, brother, too. There's a lot coming. still.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so God bless each one of you. Thank you so much for tuning into the Remnant Call. Folks, just pray, seek the Lord, fast, trust in God, and he will never lead you the wrong way. Brother, God bless you. Thank you for the years of service. This is Brother Frank and Brother Benjamin on the Remnant Call. Go ahead, brother.
Let's give everybody some homework.
Yeah, let's do it.
The next message is going to be on Isaiah 21 and 22, the fall of Babylon. And it's really a cryptic set of chapters in the English. And, you know, you really need to look through to the Hebrew, because the words in English don't really capture anything of the real message. They obscure it. They don't highlight it. But, you know, if you want to do the homework, go and do some word study in Isaiah 21 and 22. You'll be really impressed by what you're going to find, because it's an amazing, awesome, powerful message.
Amen. God bless you on all on this. Yes, do your homework. You've never the book of Isaiah is it's unbelievable. It's amazing. And so, folks, I always love that book because it is so messianic. It is so right now. It's one of the most prophetic books in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. So thank you, brother. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time on the Remnant Call. Good night and shalom.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in